Good to see you all. And I have noticed that over the last couple of months, you have all become really small people. The diet is working. Yeah, and that's good to know. I'm sure I also look pretty small to all of you. Yeah. Well, I'm starting a new series on Psalms, and that's why we had Jonathan read Psalm 56. Thank you, Jonathan. And there's a reason behind it. The eldership in our church know I did not handle either the COVID or the circuit breaker or the phase one that well. I'm claustrophobic. I do not like people to tell me where I can go and what I cannot do. And I had to cover my mouth and my toes and my ears. I just did not do well at all. But there was a redeeming factor for me. We have a park right across from us where I can walk at 4 in the morning without my mask on. So I would get up every morning, I would read one psalm, and I would go for my walk and try to remember the words I read in the psalm. And I did have a mask in my hand just in case somebody showed up. But at four, there's hardly anybody showed up. And one particular psalms, a group of psalms, really got to my attention. And those kinds of psalms are called the Mikdam Psalms. And you can see that in the introduction to Psalm 56. It's a Hebrew word, Miktam. And if ESV, for example, says it refers to a psalm, a musical notation. But in the Hebrew, Mikdam is a lid, and lid to like a bottle or something like that. And because of that, scholars think it is a silent prayer. And the six Psalms, and all of them by David, they were silent prayers. And we would see a little bit later why this is a silent prayer. And it became my friend. I would pray these silent prayers because I didn't want other people to hear what I'm about to say. It's probably against the church, probably against SBC where I teach, and probably against the government where I am. I didn't want anyone to hear my silent prayers. I knew Lord is pretty good about keeping confidentiality. And the second thing about these silent prayers are prayers offered when you get yourself in a mess. And Andrew got himself in a mess. So I like the two pray two I like these prayers for two reasons. I got myself into a trouble, same as David, which we would see. And then I can say a prayer only the Lord Jesus can hear. Right? So these Mikdam prayers became my favorite prayer through the COVID time and through the circuit breaker times. So when pastors Rick and Jim asked me to start teaching again, I knew where to go. And so I hope that as we go through this, that it would bless you too. I don't know what situation you are in, what mess you have gotten yourself into. I don't want to know. I have my own messes to deal with. And what silent prayers you might be praying at this time. But I would like us to go through this so that we could pray in a way that blesses not only us, but also makes the Lord hear our prayers in accordance with the scriptures that we are about to see. I still want to go back to the introduction because it says to the choir master, according in ESV, it says, according to the dove on far off terebinth. Scholars tell us that is a musical tune. And if you have NIV, it says to the dove on the oak, distant oaks. Makes no sense. But if you're my age, I'll give you a song to keep in mind when it comes to this. It's Beatles song, Yesterday. Because the song goes on to say, yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away, but they are now here to stay. And I long for yesterday. And if you're a next generation than me, I am X generation, if you are Z, think of the song by Norah Jones, December. I long for December because that's when good things happen, right? Now, I don't remember all the words, but you understand. Because David got himself in a trouble, which we will see in a moment, and he wishes he was in yesterday. Okay, so what trouble did he got himself into? In Psalm 56 itself, it says, David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Now that seems like David did not get himself into trouble. He was in trouble by others. But you had to read the backstory in 1 Samuel chapter 21 to understand what happens. Okay? David is the anointed king in Jerusalem. He is supposed to rule the people, but there is already a king, Saul. He did not want David, not his biological son, and a shepherd boy to be the next king. So Saul is determined to take the life of David. So David is running around all through the town. We'll hear about that word again a little bit later. He is wandering around. And he even lies at times. Matter of fact, in the previous scene, he is at a temple, at a priest place, Ahimelech the priest. And he even says to Ahimelech, I am on a king's mission. So can I have the bread that is on the altar? Now that's a blatant lie. He's not on a king's mission. He's running away from the king, right? And as a result, Ahimelech gives him the bread later, though, that causes a lot of problem to Ahimelech and the people in that city, Nob, and then David regrets for doing that. Now, we are in a different situation. You know, enemy of my enemy is my friend theory, right? So Saul is David's enemy. Saul has an enemy called Achish, who is the king of the Philistines. So David thinks, if I go to Achish's kingdom, I'll be safe because Saul cannot come in there and catch me. And they don't know who the heck I am. So he runs into Gath to Achish's palace, thinking he can take refuge in the enemy of my enemy's house. But when he gets there, the servants there recognize him. They say, oh, we know who you are, mister. It is about you. They sang the song, Saul killed 100 and David killed 10,000 and you are the prized possession for me. Right? So he is in the enemy's house. And they recognize him. So he is not seized in Gath. He surrendered himself to the enemy. Now he is caught. He is caught red-handed trying to get out of a situation. This is why I called it, he got himself into the mess that he got himself into. Pastor Rick is also my colleague at the seminary. He knows the first part of the circuit breaker, I wrote nonsense in my chat group. To the point, Lori said, I'm going to have to take the phone away from you after 5 p.m. Yeah? Andrew got himself into that trouble. Now, Andrew will tell you, no, I was perfectly fine. It's my SBC faculty that found all the fault in me. Right? And that's what David does. He says, when the Philistines seized me, he says, but in reality, he caught himself in a situation. He offered himself, he was trying to take shelter in the enemy's camp without realizing that enemy is still his enemy. So he comes up with a brilliant plan. By the way, don't take good advice from David in these situations, right? He already lied. Now he's going to pretend he is a madman. So he's running around with foams running out of his mouth, scratching on the walls. I tried that. It just did not work. Yeah. Well, Lori thinks I have lost it, but the pastor said that school hasn't thought that yet. Yeah, he pretends like a madman, and Akish is convinced he had gone mad. So this is what he says. Look at that man. He is insane. Why do you bring him to me? This is in 1 Samuel 21. I love what he says next. Don't I have enough insane people around me? That's a nice way to call all your advisors, right? You guys are all insane. Why do you want to have one more fellow in front of me? And Akish doesn't punish David. So David escapes because of his trickery. He runs to the cave of Adullam, next scene that we would see, and he hides there. When we come to this poem, the last verse, I think, was written after he escaped. The grammar changes to give us the clue. Okay, so David has gotten himself into a mess. He was trying to do something cool, but it backfired. And now he is in the enemy's camp where he is pretending to be a madman. And the only thing he can do in such a situation is what? Offer a silent prayer. Because if he gave a real prayer, they would know he is not a madman. They even know this is Mr. David, their prized possession to negotiate with Saul, right? So he does a silent prayer that God hears, God answers, and then God delivers him, and then he thanks God for it, right? So there are times he may not be there yet. Andrew has been. Yeah, you may not, but there would be a time you would do something you thought was wise, but it actually backfired on you and you are in a mess. Offer a miktam to the tune of yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now they are here to stay. Oh, how I wish for yesterday. The end. Oh, no, I guess I still have the psalm to explain. Yeah, now the psalm itself has 5 or 6 divisions. How he arranges, it's really cool. He first recollects in verses 1 and 2, the enemy's actions. Then 3 and 4, he talks about his trust in God. Then he returns back to the enemy's actions again in verses 5 and 6 and recollects their thoughts and words. Then he comes back again to show his trust in God in verses 10, 11, and 12. But in between, he asks for God to act upon itself. He calls God to act in verses 7 and 9, and then a postlude in verse 13 where he comes and he is delivered now, and he talks about God's deliverance. Okay, so first, let's look at verses 1 and 2, his recollection of his enemy's action. Verse 1 says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemy tramples on me all day long, for many attack me proudly." The summary, what's so cool it is, he uses a word that could either mean attacker or warrior. Now, the enemies that's pursuing him are theoretically warriors. They are Saul's warriors trying to capture David as an enemy. So they are just doing what they're supposed to do. Often government and God's people do what they're supposed to do. But from David's perspective, they are enemies. They are attackers. But if you ask one of those soldiers, they would say, "Man, I'm just trying to do my job because Saul commissioned me to do this job," right? They are really not the enemy, but David sees them as an enemy. He uses a statement there, all day long. He would use that statement three times in verse 2, verse 3, and verse 5, all day long, all day long, all day long. And he also uses the day term two other times, where he is constantly emphasizing this fellow that he himself is in trouble 24/7. Yeah? There was a movie that Lori and I liked, Groundhog's Day, right? Where, I forget the actor's name, but anyway, he wakes up every morning, hears the same song, and the whole day everything happens the same, and he hopes the next morning he would wake up and it would be a brand new day. No, it is Groundhog's Day all over again. The 6 weeks we were locked up, circuit breaker, 6 groundhog days for Andrew. I woke up and I heard the same song. I made the same walk back and forth. And I would lie down every night thinking tomorrow COVID would be history. And I wake up and I hear Cher sing that song again. Yeah, Groundhog's Day. Yeah. And it didn't change. And that's kind of exactly how David feels. All day long, 24 hours, 7 days a week, they are chasing me. Men are fighting after me. But then in verses 3 and 4, he turns around and says, but I really trust you, God. Matter of fact, in verse 3, he says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do for me? Matter of fact, this little line in verse 4, we would see it again in verses 10 and 11, where he would say again, in God, whose word, the word there for word could also mean promise, I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. It's almost like David is telling himself, I trust God, I trust God, so I shouldn't be afraid. I trust God, I trust God, I shouldn't be afraid. Because that's what Andrew said. I know this is all going to work out. I had nice, good friends that said, they're all Calvinists, right? So they all said, God knew this a long time ago and he planned. COVID wasn't a surprise to him. And I would say, but I'm still afraid. Now, I wasn't afraid of COVID. Actually, I wanted COVID so that I can get my immunity. But I was afraid COVID had become, believe it or not, like leprosy. If you get COVID, my gosh, you're a leper. Walk away on the other side of the road. Do not show up anywhere. You have COVID. Yeah? And that's how Andrew felt about the whole situation. Like David, all day long, they are pursuing me. But in reality, they took naps. They slept. They were not chasing him all day long. They are soldiers. They did some. But from David's perspective, it was all day long, but he trusted God even though he was afraid. What can flesh do for me, he says, but he is still afraid. Right? Like the disciples who know Jesus is on the boat, but yet they are afraid. We know what all things will work out for good for those who fear God. We know that, but that doesn't mean we are not afraid. We are fragile human beings. Right? Then David turns again to recollecting the enemy's thoughts. This time, he's talking about their words. Now, remember, this is a fellow who tried to trick the king with his words. But he is turning around and trying to complain about the enemy's words. And you want to say, wait a minute, David, it's you that have really hard words. You lie to a priest. And now you're trying to lie to a king? You should be not really talking about their words. But yet David does. All day long, we heard the statement before, all day long, they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps. And they have waited for my life. the picture is almost as if they are chopping up my words, chopping up my words. In other words, everything they would say, they would twist them. And David feels like everyone is against him. He can't say anything. Ironically, sometimes I have said this to Lori, you're not listening to me. And she is. But this is Andrew, Mr. David's friend. Yeah, from our perspective, all our words gets twisted. But Lori would say, but you are giving such a hard time to Jerry. Look at it from his point of view. I would say, hey, you are also joining Jerry. Yeah. All the words, they twist. Their crime will not escape. They strive, they lurk, they watch my steps, they wait for my life. That's how David sees the situation. There's a lot of truth to what he sees. I'm not saying this is all purely imaginative. They are trying to capture him and take him to Saul to get his life taken away from him. But yet, I think when we go through trials, things magnify. And in the same way, for David, it all looks very serious. Now, before he goes to verses 10, 11, and 12, he again talks about his trust in God. He says something really cool in verses 7 through 9. But I'm going to briefly jump to verses 10 and 11 to show you. They are the same words as verse 4. In God whose word or promise I praise, in the Lord whose words I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can a person do for me? Right? So he's repeating. He has the trust going through in his head that God is still in his side. God will still protect him. But then right in the middle, he does something really cool, which is verses 7, 8, and 9. In ESV, it says, for their crime will they escape. In wrath, cast down the people. But there's another way to read first line, and that's 7, 8, the first line of verse 7. In Hebrew, it also means, even with their crime, you will deliver them. Okay? You remember a fellow named Jonah? God says to Jonah, go to Nineveh, go and proclaim to them that I will destroy the nation in 40 days. I forget, I'm making up the number, something like that, right? and Jonah says, no, I'm not going to go because I know exactly what you would do. I would go and proclaim death to them. You would come right behind me and save them all. That's the kind of God you are. You would deliver anybody. So David says to him, even with their crime, I know you will deliver them. So I have a plan for you. Instead, get angry, cast down the people, oh God. I love David's plan for God, right? Because he knows God is a merciful one. He is going to deliver Saul. He is going to deliver the soldiers. Eventually, those soldiers would serve him, right? So he says, instead of you delivering these people, I have a plan for you. This is Andrew's plan, right? Cast down the people. Do not deliver them. Don't give them any merit for their ideas. They're all false. Listen to me. I have the master plan in my hand. Right? Then he comes back to self-grief again. I love verse 8 too. He says, you have kept account of my wanderings. I know ESV says my tossing. But the word is wandering. Remember, he's going from place to place to place to place, running away from Saul. Yeah? And he says, you keep track, you keep a GPS track of my journeys. Yeah? David invented GPS first. Invented GPS first. Yeah? It's called G-O-D. You keep track of where I go. And the next two lines are amazing. You put my tears in a wineskin. And it says bottle. That's very modern. They did not have plastic or glass bottles back then. They had goat skin, which they used for bottle. Okay. Actually, not goat skin, goat's bladder. So David says, put my tears in your goatskin bottle. But before you do that, count them. 1, 2, 3. Yeah? So even though he wants his enemies destroyed, he wants God to be so tender to him. Count all his tears and gather all his tears in the wineskin and also count them one by one. Then he says, then my enemies will turn back. And then there's a slight change again where they would say, then they will know God is with me. ESV says, then I will know God is with me. He says, they will know God is with me because they see. My teacher used to say, there's a verse in the Bible that says, God knows everyone's hair. How many hair everybody has. Now, it's a lot easier with people like me. Yeah? The barber always says to me, I had to charge you double to cut your hair because first I had to find it and then cut it. Yeah? But I remember what my teacher, Dr. Jim Allman, used to say. To count someone's hair, you had to be close to that person. Right? I can't count any one of your hairs. I am too far from you. Yeah? So the same way, to gather someone's tears into a skin bottle, you had to be close to them. There goes David's one drop. There goes David's two drops. There goes David's three drops. Yeah? They will see how close God is to David, and they will turn away. That was my prayer through the whole COVID. I am losing it, God. I am losing it. Stand by me so that people will know Andrew still has a God on his side. Yeah, they're all imaginary enemies for Andrew, but they were pretty real. Yeah, same way they were so real for David. Then he continues with his trust in God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can a person do, a man can do for me, a person can do for me? Verse 12 grammatically still goes with verse 11, but in theory, it also goes with verse 13. He makes a vow at the end of his psalm saying, I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thanksgiving offering to you. He knows God will deliver him. And when that time comes, he must offer a vow. He must offer a thanksgiving offering. When Jim and Rick wrote to me and said, would I speak again? The first that came to my mind was, no, I am still an emotional wreck. I can't do this. And that verse popped into my head. This is my thanksgiving offering. This is my vow, to stand like David and say, you delivered me. I can list a lot of my deliverance. For one thing, I have not gotten sick. I'm not in a country, my own country like India, where there's huge numbers and so much poverty. I have food every day. I have grab delivering food anytime I want. Yeah. We are not in an awkward situation, awful situation, as so many of the world is. Yeah, God had delivered us. I just could not see that. Yeah, had good friends, good godly friends, good tolerant colleagues, good pastors to tolerate me. Yeah. All of them as God's deliverance. So whenever we get over a situation where we went through a hard time and then God delivers, don't stop there. Make a promise to declare his praises to the people. Give thanksgiving offering, which is to share with your people, with your friends and your colleagues, how miserable you were in that particular situation and how God delivered you. And then in verse 13, he is finally out of the mess that he is in. And he says, you have delivered my soul from death and my feet from falling. Remember, he's running around that rocky areas, right? And he's also doing trickery. Yet God had protected him from falling, that I may walk before you in the light of life. Light of life is a phrase used in Job and also here to talk about in the fullness of life, in the happiness of life. Almost the picture is at the end of a day sitting in front of a beach and saying, thank you, God, I made it. Yeah, in the fullness of life or in the light of life. David got himself into trouble. He was trying to be really smart, but instead he got himself into trouble where he can't even openly pray a prayer. So he offers a silent prayer that God alone hears with full of his emotions, all very selfish emotions, including saying to God, don't rescue them as you always do. Instead, punish them, but protect me. Count my tears. Keep them in your wineskin. But God remains faithful, not only to deliver him, but also to show mercies to his enemies. He was faithful to Saul till the last moment that Saul died. God remains faithful to all people. Yes, there are times we can pray the prayer like, Lord, my team needs to win. He would say, sure, I'm listening to you. So your other team, they're also praying. I am listening to you. But it doesn't matter. We as Christians can pray to him in our times of trouble. I don't know where you are. Maybe I heard a few of you say you actually loved the circuit breaker, that you didn't have to travel. You were home with your people. Awesome. I'm glad you enjoyed that time. But someday in your life, you may get into a point where you try to do something so smart that gets you into trouble. But there's one person who is always constant, who is always delivers. That's our Lord Jesus. That's our God, Adonai Father. That's our Holy Spirit who takes our silent sighs and communicates them to Father in a way he understands in accordance with his will. So whenever you go through trouble, think of David. He is Mr. Trouble. And yet, he is also Mr. Trust. He trusted in God and cried out to God alone in silent prayer so that God may deliver him. I have a phrase that I'm afraid to say because it's not very Christian, but I'm going to say it. God still delivers the fools. David and Mr. Andrew. God delivers the fools. Yeah, he is always on the side of the dumb ones. Okay, that's a good thing. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are so privileged to have a God who hears our prayers, lets us be crazy, at the same time, be our steadfast deliverer. just as you delivered David, we know we all will be delivered. Nothing can be against us, not even death, because you will resurrect us and keep us with you. When we go through trials, help us not to cry without knowing you are there. Help us to cry knowing you are there, that you keep all of our tears in bottles and you count them. In Jesus' name, amen.